The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Indeed it is. 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. Thanks for being with us on AM 1420. The Answer is hour number two commences. It is the second morning of the 11th month of the year of our Lord 2021. It's Election Day 2021. Extraordinarily important elections going on all over Northeast Ohio in school districts in which there are, I won't even call them conservative parents. I will just call them concerned parents trying to take over their leftist indoctrinating school boards. Every single vote in an off-year election matters. Every single one. There will not be a huge turnout. I'm telling you, you can make the difference between your kids learning in an educational environment rather than in a political environment. You can make the difference. And in Cleveland, of course, you can decide whether or not there's still going to be law and order in the city of Cleveland, or if Justin Bibb and Issue 24 are going to make sure that there are no laws and no order really ever again. It's that serious. So it's Election Day, and joining us now to talk about a few of those things, as well as Election Day in the state of Virginia, is, of course, Peter Kersenow. Peter is our good friend. He's the host of the Kersenow Report. He's an attorney. He's a best-selling author. He is a columnist, and he is also a member, the longest-serving member of the United States Commission on Civil Rights, 20 years and counting in service to this country in that role. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
It's a sunny day in the best location in the nation, and I'm on the best radio show in the nation, so it's a good day.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say. I'm going to extend this radio show, by the way, for 3 hours today as I sit in for Dennis Prager, and I'm going to have a lot more to say about this race in Virginia when I'm talking to a national audience. And, Pete, I want to get your thoughts, because I'll probably save some of them and play them on the Prager show about that race. But you just triggered me. You call this the greatest location in the nation. Pete, the city of Cleveland is about to make a decision that is going to impact your view of that. The city of Cleveland is already on pace for more homicides in a calendar year than at any time in its history, which would break the record set last year of more homicides than any time in its history. Its murder rate and violent crime rate, proportionally with a city of under 400,000, is off the charts. And this is with a police force that is 125 members under budget. The money is there. It's budgeted to have 125 more cops, but they won't bring them in, or they can't bring them in. Peter, if Issue 24 passes, that creates this civilian commission, which is kind of like the commission created by the consent decree, but on steroids, even the mayor wouldn't have more power than the commission when it comes to deciding police conduct or misconduct. It's going to be a commission staffed by anti-police advocates like Samaria Rice. It's going to be a commission that is going to drive, according to the president of the Patrolmen's Association, Jeff Fulmer, at least 300 Cleveland cops into retirement or into resigning and transferring to other cities. What kind of city is Cleveland going to be with 400 to 500 fewer cops on the streets, leaving leaving the citizenry and most particularly minorities to fend for themselves, because there will not be a police force on the streets of Cleveland, Pete?
This is the Cleveland version of defund the police if it passes.
Yeah.
We have been in Cleveland fairly sane compared to Seattle, Chicago, Philadelphia, almost all the other major cities. And though we have experienced spikes in crime on a proportionate basis, as you've indicated, I mean, in total murders, of course, the 1970s were unparalleled. But nonetheless, you know, I live in Cleveland. I live in Cleveland, and as I've told folks, almost every day, in the evenings or whatever, I hear gunshots in the distance. You hear them. I mean, it's only, you say to yourself, I live in the United States of America, yet on a daily basis, I hear gunshots. We can't, these civilian oversight boards, again, I'll give them some props by saying they may be well-intended. I think that the people who are in favor of them are well-intended, horribly misguided, because the product of them we've seen throughout the country is restraining police from doing their jobs. And the presumption is that cops are bad guys. Cops do something that is extraordinary. They put their lives on the line every single day, and they're involved in circumstances that 99.9% of us don't have to be involved in our respective occupations. And there should be oversight over cops. Yet we do. We've got oversight of cops. We've got tons of oversight of cops. But what this does, and we've seen it, in, you know, at the Civil Rights Commission, we look at this kind of stuff all the time. We've issued several reports on these types of matters. You properly, I think, equated it with consent decrees. What happens when these civilian review boards go into effect is you have more crime, you have especially violent crimes, because you have a correlative to what we've talked about before, Bob, the Ferguson effect, which is, you know, the greatest term, I think, in law enforcement that's been created in the last 10 years by our friend Heather McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
Cops necessarily are going to be reticent about going that extra mile, putting their lives on the line, putting their necks on the line, and trying to protect the populace, when they know that if they make the slightest mistake, they're going to be second-guessed. They should be second-guessed, but not in a way that almost presumes guilt. We need to do more in this country to support cops. We hold cops who make mistakes and or who are bad cops to account. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. No doubt about that. But by the same token, this war on cops that we've had over the last several years has resulted in the biggest spike in violent crime in at least 30 years. It's extraordinary. We've been spared that a little bit here in Northeast Ohio, but all the other places where you've seen something similar like to this happening, whether it's by a civilian review board, consent decree, or prosecutors acting in the manner of a civilian review board, that is, they are acting in an adversarial posture toward cops as opposed to supporting cops and taking, you know, cops on when it's merited. But you look at Chicago, Philadelphia, and some of these other places, the citizenry suffers big time. Chicago, Inglewood,
and Pete,
is a
and Pete,
war zone.
Speak specifically to what you and I have discussed before. Which part of our citizenry? What are the demographics of the people who suffer the most?
You know, Bob, again, we have talked about this, and I predicted this over a year and a half ago on the Tucker Carlson show, the day after or 2 days after the George Floyd. I said, it's going to go up. Murder rates are going to go up at least 30%. Book it. Book it. What happens because of the Ferguson effect, as we've seen, it's the most violent crimes that spike dramatically. Because I want to go into a kind of a social science explanation, but what we've seen at the U.S. Civil Rights Commission is that when you have this kind of withdrawal effect, when you have consent decrees, when you have civilian review boards, it's the worst crimes that explode. There is an explosion among lower-level crimes, but those are the ones that feed the bigger crimes. It's the broken windows theory, the James Q. Wilson, Edward Banfield broken windows theory. It's not just a theory. It's been proven over 40 years. So I'm opposed to this. It's a horrible idea. I know there are people of goodwill who think it should be done. It's misguided. It's going to hurt the people of the city of Cleveland. And as a resident of the city of Cleveland, I am in vehement opposition to it.
I will grant your qualifier that there are people of goodwill who are in support of this. I think they are very, very few and far between. I think the people who are supporting this issue 24 are not people of goodwill. They are people who know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing this in the name of racial reckoning. They believe that there are too many African Americans arrested by police, profiled by police, targeted by police, and so on and so forth. And this is their way of getting even, if you will. And I think it's very, very, very dangerous. So again, in an off-year election like this, you know, there's no midterm election going on. There's no presidential election going on. The turnout's going to be low. Every vote matters. Vote against issue 24 today, Clevelanders. Vote against Justin Bibb, who supports this wholeheartedly, and try to save your city. It's that serious. Pete, since we're talking elections, let's talk about Virginia now. It was just a month ago that Terry McAuliffe had a 5-6-7 point lead over Glenn Youngkin, which he should. He's a Democrat, even though he is a smarmy, horrific, unlikable Democrat. He is all of those things. He is terrible, Pete. I talked about this before. Before he went to Virginia, he was in charge of the Ohio Democrat Party. I interviewed him a few times, 2003, 2004. Easily the most disgusting person that I have ever interviewed on radio. And I've talked to some bad people. He is just as condescending and mean-spirited as it gets. But nonetheless, it's a deep blue state of Virginia, and he was leading it by a relatively large margin a month ago when he decided to announce that, hey, parents, shut up, get out of the way, and let the state raise your kids. You have no say in how they're educated or how they are treated in the classrooms. Stay in your lane. Let the professionals do their jobs in the teachers' unions. That's essentially what he said, and that began the decline of his lead. Now, Glenn Youngkin, according to some surveys, has a 4-5 point lead. And it's election day. Terry McAuliffe chose yesterday to make his close, as the people went to the polls, more division, declaring that the state of Virginia has far too many white teachers. We need way more black teachers if we're going to bring about equity in the state of Virginia. 80%, he said, we're 50% population of black students, yet 80% of the teachers are white. And that's no good because, Pete, we all know that white teachers can't possibly teach black students, right?
You know, that's an important question, but I want to apologize to your listeners. I was remiss in not saying very emphatically, let's go Brandon. So I wanted to get that out there before we go any farther. But yeah, look.
Consider it done.
What we've got in, we talked about this, and it's coming to fruition. We talked about this more than a year ago when Loudoun County first blew up. And nobody was really reporting about it, but I had happened to be involved in it. And, you know, I sent all my materials to Tucker and other shows so that they'd be aware of it. This is an extraordinary thing what's happening. What we are seeing here is a revolt by parents. Critical race theory, as we've talked about, is the third rail. I've never seen an issue electrify the electorate like critical race theory, because it involves, among other things, it involves so many, there's a confluence of factors, but being taught in the schools, filling our kids with this poison, when people actually see what's being done, and the Democrats deny it, which tells you there's something really big going on, and there is. But when they see what's happening, it's astonishing. You say to yourself, where am I? Did I fall through some type of hole or something, through the looking glass? It's not an exaggeration to say that they say that whiteness is bad, that if you are white, you are inherently an evil person. Those exact words, Bob, this is when they say, oh, critical race is not being taught, they like to keep changing the nomenclature, but the essence of what they are doing is racial division and hatred. The animosity that's being created, the type of psychological abuse that's going on, it is just extraordinary, and it's happening. The ground zero was Loudoun, Virginia. That was ground zero for people awakening to what was going on. And Terry McAuliffe says, hey, you know, you should leave it to the teachers. Parents don't have any right to be involved in their kids' education. Whoa, buddy. That set off a firestorm justifiably. The third rail, as I indicated. The Democrats are in a vice. And it's not just in the Virginia race. Now, I don't know if Youngkin's going to win. I mean, Trump lost by 10 points. It's a deeply blue state. When they say it's blue, no, it's deeply blue. Anybody who's been in Northern Virginia, which is around, you know, on the outskirts of the Beltway, that is solid, solid, solid blue, 99% for Biden. And that's where the dense population is. So when you look at what's going on there, it's truly extraordinary. But they're in a vice because the Democrats have the school boards, like we saw from the letter from the National School Board Association asking the Justice Department to use anti-terrorism laws against parents, from the teachers' unions, the biggest contributors to the Democrats, and the Wokerati, which is the base of the Democratic Party now. They, you know, they can't rely on blacks anymore. They can't rely on union workers to the extent they used to. Now it's the Wokerati, the white liberal professional class that saves them. But that's a tiny class. But even those folks are defecting in the face of the diminution, the dilution of the educations of their kids by the Democrat-controlled school boards and the State Board of Education. We saw something like that, similar to that, happen here with Resolution 20 in Ohio. That was rescinded, thank God, a couple of weeks ago. Parents are rising up, and I think that's the big key there. Now, again, yeah. Will Youngkin win? I think many of us are skeptical. Republicans are justifiably skeptical because we've seen over decades what happens when Democrats control the electoral process. But, you know, we're skeptical because this is a very deep blue state where Democrats do control most of the levers of power. And by all measures, McAuliffe should win. He really should because I mean, first of all,
despite all of his gaffes, despite his attacks, exactly. You know, you're on parents and so forth. You're right. Pete, I got to get our time out here. It's 10:24. I want to come back and briefly talk about the impact, if Youngkin does win, on other elections as we now head into the 2022 midterm elections. What is this the bellwether that many people believe it to be in Virginia for the rest of the country? Well, I'll let you talk about that coming up next on AM 1420 The Answer.
American Red Cross encourages healthy individuals to make an appointment to donate blood in the weeks ahead by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800.
Get yourself and describe what you see.
Okay, it's 10:27. Peter Kersenow continues with us on this Tuesday edition of the show. Pete, I'm going to talk about Brandon, and I want to talk about Colin coming up after the bottom of the hour. So I want to use the last 3 minutes of this hour. Just final thought on the McAuliffe-Youngkin race in Virginia. They're at the polls right now. Youngkin actually has a lead, according to most of the polls there, because of McAuliffe sticking his foot first in dog crap and then secondly in his mouth. But is this the bellwether? If Youngkin wins, what do you think that means tactically going forward for both parties as we head into the midterms, with the Republicans expecting a red wave to win the House by a really large margin and to take back a majority in the Senate as well? And likewise, do you think a McAuliffe hold in his deeply blue state means that the Democrats are going to proceed as they are currently running with a platform of build back better and everything that we're seeing in the failed Biden agenda?
Yeah, I think this is a scary race for Democrats. Now, I don't know, as I said before, I'm not sure that Youngkin's going to win. It'll be a close race no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. But even if it's close, I think it really puts a real big chill in Democratic plans because they've seen a state that should have been an easy win with a known politician who had been governor once in the past. If they see that he struggles, all these grand agenda items that they envision passing, you know, the Build Back Better program, as you indicated, these trillion-dollar deals, Manchin's already indicated that he doesn't like this latest version and that he has had it studied and it says it's a debacle, basically. Others are going to join him. Manchin and Sinema, as we've talked about, are stalking horses for a whole range of other Democratic senators who just don't want to put themselves out there but have trouble, you know, signing on to something like this. So even a close win by McAuliffe is going to chill the Democratic agenda. I think it completely stalls out any momentum that Biden has in terms of passing the overall, you know, Build Back Better type of program. But a loss is seismic. If McAuliffe loses, my goodness, it is going to require tremendous amount, and justifiably so, soul-searching on the part of Democrats, because they were riding high just 10 months ago. They had won the White House. They had both houses of Congress. They went on this ambitious plan, not justified by the margins that they had in either the Senate or the House. But it looked like they were on the ascendancy. Of course, the media was completely in their pocket and thought that everything they did was the greatest thing in the history of the world. But I think that if they lose, I mean, look, 71%
people, hold on a second. Let me do this because it's 10:30. Take 30 seconds to answer this part of the if they lose question. If they lose, if McAuliffe loses, does it kill the CRT/DIE agenda? Because he has run on this saying that, oh, there is no critical race theory in Virginia. It is complete racist dog whistling and so on and so forth. Advancing the equity agenda, of course, we need more black teachers and so forth. If he loses running on that, does it crush that part of the Democrat platform? Take 30 seconds.
The big mistake Republicans, conservatives always make is to think that the victory is final. The Democrats and the left never, ever, ever stop. So even though it would really be a big blow to CRT, and it would embolden people in their various states to, you know, review and rescind it, the Democrats will come back in a different format. They'll call it something different. They will never stop. We always must be vigilant. Republicans always make that mistake.
All right, Peter Kersenow, great stuff. Let's take a time out of here for news. We'll come back and we'll talk about Colin and Brandon. Two different stories, two very interesting pieces of commentary, I'm sure, coming from Peter Kersenow. Right now, 10:31 on AM 1420, The Answer. And remember, when you call, there's no obligation. Judge for yourself. You'll see what I mean. Call 440-832-8936. I trust Mark King with Medicare, and you can too.
Larry Elder explains why we see a backlog of goods.
There is one very specific regional issue driving the problem. The trucking issue with LA ports. All semi-tractors have to be current with new California emissions standards. Not COVID, not shortage of workers.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 1420, The Answer.
Or on iHeart, TuneIn, and Odyssey.
There are two sides to every story. There's the mainstream media side, and then there's the truth. You are experiencing the truth. The Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
I know a guy who can barely speak, but he don't fully send me tweets. He gives all the young girls a scare.
I wrote the bill.
Rubs their shoulders and sniffs their hair.
Blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
$3 trillion on the liberal wish list. Taliban gets new toys for Christmas. Gotta get jabbed and that's an order. Unless you come here from across the border. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Parody songs have taken up like four of the top 10 on the iTunes charts in the course of the last couple of weeks. It is unbelievable. None of them, by the way, are as good as this one. This is by our own production specialist, Dale Officer, right here in the building at Salem. He's just brilliant. He wrote that parody of the I Want Candy song. Tremendous, tremendous stuff. Peter Kersenow, Let's Go Brandon is triggering the left like very few things we have seen before, from the mainstream media to leftist politicians to actors and celebrities and so forth. They are just livid that people are saying words that are not vulgarities because somebody in reality those words were interpreted, I guess, by the NBC race car analyst who was doing the interview, who knows that these words do mean a vulgarity. But nonetheless, it's the clean and non-profane way of saying we don't like Joe Biden and the left is going crazy over this. Pete, my question for you is, where do they find the moral high ground when they, for 4 years, they stood on platforms and screamed F Trump? And I'm talking about things like national television at the Tonys, where Robert De Niro got standing ovations for saying the word, not just the letter, but the word that accompanies the F Trump, standing ovations. Kathy Griffin holds up a severed head of the president, Snoop Dogg does videos in which he's being shot and killed. They're doing plays in which he's being stabbed like Caesar. There was more vile, vulgar, profane hate for Donald Trump expressed by the left for 4 years than one can imagine, and they're triggered by "Let's Go Brandon." How do they stand on that high ground, Pete?
Well, you know, look, they've. I don't even know where to begin there. I really don't. But, you know, we've seen it in a number of occasions. You know, we've seen it with these news anchors who are just horrified by the use of this non-profane language, whereas they were completely silent, as you said. I mean, Trump was subjected to the worst type of abuse of any president in our lifetimes. That's simply a fact. You know, the media may not want to acknowledge it, the left may not want to acknowledge it, or maybe they or conveniently forgot it, but that's true. But now they've got Biden. Can you imagine, by the way, this is happening to Biden. Can you imagine if this happened to Obama? I mean, my goodness. It would be the left would simply explode, and not only that, given their proclivities, as we've seen, trying to designate almost anything with which they have disagreement as a terrorist action, who knows what they might do. We know that there have been a couple of news reporters who have called for people who say, "Let's go, Brandon," to be arrested. Think about the lunacy of this.
And fired. They want the Southwest pilot fired, by the way, also.
Exactly right. These people have completely lost it, but it tells you precisely what they're all about and who they are. And the fact that we get news from these people, think about the quality of the news that you get. Your listeners, they get it. And most conservatives have long since abandoned getting any type of impartial information from the news media. But nonetheless, one of the reasons why people love Let's Go Brandon is it's kind of playful. It's kind of a use of the Saul Alinsky approach against Democrats and the left themselves, where, you know, you ridicule something is one of the best weapons you can have. And ridiculing Biden is just, I mean, it's just like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. Yeah. It really is. But it's not just a jab at Biden. It's a jab at, I think, the media and the corrupt elite establishment generally. It's a real jab at them. When that NBC reporter, I'm not very charitable, I think that she knew precisely what she was doing, and I think to some extent, I mean, you and I had a slight disagreement about this. I think, you know,
I'm not married to that, by the way, Pete. I just feel like maybe she panicked in the moment. She's like, oh my God, they're saying the word F word loud and audible on our broadcast. I got to say something here. They're saying, "Let's go, Brand." I just feel like she may have panicked there, but I'm not married to that. That's just a thought.
Yeah, it could be, but you know, that doesn't justify what other reporters are saying and doing. And
no.
The fact of the matter is that the media, nonetheless, has been trying to silence this. They've been trying to explain it away or ignore it. It's in stadiums all over the place. I have absolutely no doubt, although I don't have any inside information, but I have absolutely no doubt that the ESPNs of the world and others try to talk over it when it's being chanted in various stadiums or turn off the volume of the various microphones. There's no doubt about that. They wouldn't do the same thing with Trump under any circumstances. We know that. And, you know, as I said, it's a dual purpose, a jab at Biden and the establishment, generally speaking, not just the media establishment, but academia, big tech, and everybody. There's this sense abroad in the land. You talk to people on your show. I go out and I speak and I listen to people all the time. And there's this sense that, you know, Hillary put it very well, that she described most of us as deplorables. The elites are out there. They know best, of course. And unfortunately, they've got to, you know, kind of grovel to get the support and votes of the great unwashed out here in America, unworthy of having them lead us. But it's that kind of dynamic where we feel as if we, the people, the masses of people who want to raise our kids in a clean, moral society where we want to have little things like an economy that doesn't kill us, when we don't want to give $500,000 apiece to illegal immigrants who've broken our laws, when we don't want to have our fellow Americans abandoned behind enemy lines. I still can't get over that, Bob. It's just one of the most incredible things that's ever happened in the last half century. Abandoned knowingly by our government behind not just enemy lines, but a vicious Taliban enemy line, when crime is going through the roof because our elites have decided to defund the police because they don't live in the places where the police are most active and they don't care about it, where our supply chain is a debacle, where, you know, we can't travel because of that and because of the various mandates, where, you know, we've got China is exceeding us in so many different categories, all these things going on that the elites and their policies have visited upon us. It's a nice way by saying, let's go, Brandon, to thumb our nose at them and saying, that's you right. Guys screwed up over the last 30 years. Give us a chance now to do what's right. The guys, as Mike Rowe likes to say, I saw him on Fox a couple of days ago, and he talks about the people who actually fix things. The people who actually fix things do things, not the lawyers, doctors, and Indian chiefs. No disrespect to them. Doctors, yeah. But, you know, not the bureaucrats, not the different administrators. No, there are a lot of good people who do their jobs on a daily basis. You know, they're not trying to necessarily, oppress us or implement some radical policies. But the people who get their hands dirty, the people who, you know, break their backs building this country, and they're being called deplorables, their kids are being told they're evil. It's that kind of reaction. Let's go, Brandon, is a universal type of epithet, non-profane, non-obscene epithet.
That's right.
Saying, we're deplorables, we're proud of it, because we are Americans first. You guys have made your beds with the Chinese, with the globalists, or all the environmentalists, but we are Americans first. We resist getting vaccines if we don't want them, not because, you know, we're just simply reacting in a certain way, because we are Americans. We are a free people. I got my vaccine because I'm a free person. I made my choice, okay? But the guy next to me, he gets to make a choice also. And Joe Biden, who couldn't choose the right kind of hair plugs to get, shouldn't be telling us what we must do.
Pete, I think that's very well said. In fact, it's very similar to what I said in my opening monologue. Let's go, Brandon, which is, of course, the gentle way of the blank you Biden, or blank Joe Biden, rather, is really not specifically just aimed at this 78-year-old cognitive lead, you know, disabled man. It is saying, you know, blank you open border, blank you Afghanistan debacle, blank you empty store shelves, blank you all of the things that you listed there that, quite frankly, have been self-inflicted wounds
right
upon the country in the last 10 months. And, you know, you're right when you say, you know, over the last 30 years, but literally, pre-pandemic in particular, what Donald Trump, the path that this country was on under Donald Trump's policies, mean tweets and nasty demeanor aside, the policies of Trump had this country on a tremendous footing economically, job-wise, energy-wise, militarily, foreign policy. You know, Kim Jong-un stopped testing us and stopped testing missiles. China started coming up shooting with a fair trade agreement. I mean, all of the things that were done have been undone in
right
just 10 months, Pete.
Yes.
That's what we're let's go Brandoning. It's like, how dare you undo all of the great progress that had been made here, all because, quite frankly, Joe Biden is dancing to the beat of a socialist drum. He's listening
exactly
to the left wing of his party and quite possibly to his former partner in the Oval Office, Barack Obama, who I think is probably, you know, steering this ship from behind the scenes.
It's a thumb. It really is a epithet directed at those who have enabled the decline of America in just 10 months. You're exactly right. You listed all those different categories of decline. And we as Americans know we can do better. But we're falling into second and third and fourth place. We're turning this place into a socialist, I'm not going to use any epithets, but you know what it is. This is horrible. And Trump used a particular the phrase that got in a little bit of
I think it was hellhole. It was blank hole. We'll substitute hellhole, a little more acceptable.
One of the things that Trump also did is he permitted speaking plain truths about our current condition, not these euphemisms that the left holds dear to whenever they screw up stuff. every single major component of how we measure how the nation is doing has gotten demonstrably, significantly worse under Biden in just a short period of time. And it wasn't simply Biden, because Biden, of course, he's incompetent, as the polls show most Americans believe. But it's those who are around whom who are actually, you know, running the ship. They're the ones involved, and we're saying, you know, you guys went to Harvard and Yale. You guys think that you know what you're doing, but every time you get in charge, you screw things up, and we're done with it. Give me the micro kind of guys every single day of the week. They're the guys who fight the wars. They're the guys who fix the tractors. They're the guys who make things run. And when you get the Pete Buttigieg's and the Susan Rice's and all those folks who got these great supposed educations, they come in, and what do? They screw things up using their stupid pet theories. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I went to an Ivy League school. My daughter went to an Ivy League school. I'm here to tell you, it is the money that you have to pay to go to an Ivy League school better used to maybe go to an apprenticeship program, and I'm not exaggerating at all.
No, I believe it.
You know, you can get a good education from an Ivy League school, but it's not likely, not likely, and what you will get is a lot of bull crap. People need to speak plainly about it. I am sick of what's going on at my university. I'll tell you, my college football team, we stay in touch over the last several decades. We email each other almost every day to a man. They are very concerned. And those who contributed to my alma mater, they're no longer contributing. They're sick of what's going on there.
Well, my own daughter could have gone Ivy, and she chose Hillsdale instead. And it's one of the things for which I am the most proud, or of which I am the most proud, and for which I am the most grateful that she made that decision, because it's going to work out extraordinarily well for her. Pete, let me take a final time out here. I want to come back and ask you if, when you were playing college football, if you ever thought of trying to enter the draft into slavery. We'll talk about that coming up next on AM 1420, The Answer. All right, real quick before I get back to personnel, it is election day. I've been telling you, make sure if you're a Cleveland voter, know on 24 if you care at all about the future of that city not being run by gangs and criminals. Also, make sure that you do not allow Justin Bibb to come in and try to destroy law and order in that city. Vote for Kelly flawed of a candidate as he may be. He is easily the best choice in that particular race. A couple of other quick ones. Want to remind you about Highland Local Schools District, make sure that you support Christopher Wolney, Sean Marie Peppers, and Melissa Schreiner. These are three individuals working very hard to flip the indoctrination script, if you will, on the Highland School Board. And that I told you yesterday, go to OhioValueVoters.com, print out the slate of school board candidates for all of the other Northeast Ohio school boards that are, we are hopefully going to turn over to concerned and well organized parents who want to make sure that education is practiced rather than indoctrination. And one final one. Marsha Fudge is done screwing up District 11. Now she's screwing up in the Biden administration. Support Laverne Gore today. If you are a Cleveland voter in the 11th District, Laverne Gore should be the next member of Congress from the 11th District. Let's turn that district around. So I want to make sure I get all of that out there on this election day. Now, Peter Kersenow, Colin Kaepernick, who long ago decided to trade in his cleats for an activist hat, and he is being rewarded far more handsomely than he would be as a backup or third-string quarterback in the league right now anyway. He's got multi-million-dollar deals with Netflix, multi-million-dollar deals with Nike. He's writing books. He is just selling his activism. Has decided on his Netflix special to declare that he has been working daily, working out in the hopes of getting one more shot at getting back into the NFL. And in the same broadcast, the same first part of his Netflix special, also declared that the NFL is like slavery, that NFL players are treated like slaves were. Can you make any sense out of why somebody would work their tail off every day in the hopes of going back into slavery?
Yeah, I can. Colin Kaepernick is an idiot, and we've known that for a long time. This is just, I mean, you know, what is there to say about Colin Kaepernick anymore? We've seen him, the Wokerati and Nike and others have enabled this moron. And, you know, I don't like calling people names, but these are the most accurate descriptions you can give to someone like this. And it's appalling that he would even begin to equate. And we know he's trying to, you know, make a point. But the point is, 90% of the males in this country wish they were in the NFL. You know, the combine, I know you made some references to the combine. The combine is a 2 to 3 day event. You can watch on ESPN where they measure you, you run, you do bench presses and things of that nature. I've been to the combine. They treat you extremely well. You're put up in the best hotels or best hotel. You're fed well. You know, you're flown there. It's just a great experience. You know, it truly is. There's camaraderie. You get to meet the guys who may be your employers. It's a chance to, you know, make a $10 million signing bonus as opposed to maybe a $6 million signing bonus because maybe you can shave a tenth of a second off your 40-yard dash time. My goodness, everybody in the world, including those true slaves that make the sneakers that Colin Kaepernick gets millions to endorse, those guys would love to be at the combine because every single day they're in brutal conditions in China. He says absolutely nothing, along with his pal LeBron James and all these other gigantic hypocrites who gladly lecture us, but then say nothing whatsoever about the appalling regime in China. They can't say anything. That goes for Greg Popovich and all these other individuals who like to tell we deplorables what horrible people we are and what a horrible country this is, but say nothing, not boo about China. I'm sick of Kaepernick. Most of us are sick of Kaepernick. We don't have anything more to do with him. And he has a diminishing cohort of people that he's able to influence. Let it be so.
Yeah, and it's really staggering to me, and it's so insulting, and it should be to every African-American who, you know, thinks about their ancestry when they were put up on auction blocks and poked and prodded and so on to see what kind of they might have in stamina to work in the fields compared to people who voluntarily walk into an auction room and get poked and prodded and measured and stretched and so on to see how well they can do in working on a field for millions and millions of dollars. The comparison should be insulting to every African American in this country, quite frankly, in the world that has ever had slavery in their ancestry. It's an insult to everything that they are. And I hope they send that message to Colin Kaepernick and, most importantly, to Netflix, which is paying him to say these things. Peter Kirstenow, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Good luck on Prager. Talk to you later, Bob.
Thanks very much. That's right. I will be hosting for Dennis Prager today. Thanks, Marcy. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks very much. That's right. I will be hosting for Dennis Prager today. Thanks, Marcy. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.